books of the Bible. We're going to read verses 20, verse 23. It's only one chapter in Jude, so Jude, verses 20 through 23. And we will read responsively. And let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. Jude, and we're going to read verses 20 through 23. You read, then I read. Our text verse today is verse number 22. But ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And let's read verse number 22 altogether. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you right now as we come to the preaching of your book, Holy Spirit, again, I ask you to give me clarity, give me thought this morning. I pray, God, Holy Spirit, you touch hearts. I pray, Lord, that as a result of your word this morning, that people would leave, your people would leave closer to you than when they came. I pray that some would leave helped. I pray that others would leave encouraged, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just bless now. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll give you a quick overview of the book of Jude, a very short book. It's a very pointed book. Of course, it's written by Jude. He was one of the half-brothers of Christ. A very tough message by Jude to the early church. You see, the early church, some apostasy had snuck in. Heresy had was mounting in the early church. And the Spirit, upon the Holy Spirit, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, revealing to Jude to write a letter of warning, urging them to contend for the faith. False teachers had absorbed themselves in the church. And basically, when you read this short book of the Bible, you see that Jude was very urgent. Jude was very pointed. And basically, it's kind of a message is, in not so many words, we've had enough. We're going to go ahead and serve God. We're going to contend for the faith. Let me just stop and say this. This isn't part of my message. But you know what? We got to be very careful today in this day and age to not let false doctrine creep into the church. It's happening all around us. It is happening all around us. And we need to stay contending for the faith. We need to be a church that keeps God first place. Brother Robles' Sunday school lesson this morning primarily was the thought was to keep Jesus number one. And I just want to encourage you this morning, just by way of pre-introduction, we got to keep Jesus number one here. Always will be here at Faith Baptist Church. Always keep his word number one. Always going to keep him first and forefront in all that we do. But tucked away in this short book of the Bible is this little verse, and of some, verse number 22, and of some having compassion, making a difference. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of being a difference maker or making a difference. In preparation, I was reading a few articles from preachers who kind of taught on this this same subject, if you will. But I've been kind of preparing this for the last month or so. And in preparation for this, I was looking back at some of the people that made a difference in my life. People who helped shape me in who I am. I'm thinking of people like my parents. They were here, of course, last week. You know, they spent, of course, much time in preparing me and prepping me for adult life. They taught me the importance of hard work and stick-to-itiveness and grit and so forth. And I thank God for that. I thank God that they took me to church every week. Of course, I grew up on a dairy farm. And every week you could count on us being in church, being in our place. I thank God for their faithfulness. I think of preachers, and I've said time and time again, and there's nothing wrong with having heroes, especially heroes that do something, if you will, that are meaningful in their business, if you will. But preachers have been my heroes. I'm talking about preachers that are faithful in word and deed, that take the word of God, and they've not wavered, and they've not gone ahead and when the opposition comes, they don't go ahead and go with every wind of doctrine. But I thank God for preachers like my pastor, Pastor Christner, who helped me much in honing me for such a time as this, who helped prepare me for Carver, if you will. I thank God for Men like Dr. Jack Hiles was so much influence on me, great preacher, who literally encouraged me in his office, encouraged me to stay in New England and serve God here. He was so strong, a strong preacher, and never wavered in the faith. These preachers in particular, I'm thinking of a message that my preacher preaches that I go back to often, that has encouraged me, a notable message that has encouraged me, and to kind of keep on going and kind of keep me on track, if you will, so that I can continue to be a difference maker. I think of a notable message of Brother Hiles that he preached, Grow or Die, that's the title of it, Grow or Die, that is notable in my mind. It's etched in my mind that when I do get discouraged, when I feel like maybe I want to quit, I go back to some of these messages that are etched there and in my mind, and I thank God for the preaching of the Word of God that have helped encourage me along the way. And I thank God for bosses that I've had. You know, a boss doesn't have to be your enemy. I thank God of bosses who are leaders that I've had. They've encouraged me, and their work ethic helped shape me and how to work. Creating a vision on how to get the work done, how to get the job done. By the way, you know, I think back, even today as a senior pastor, I look back at some of my bosses and so forth who encouraged me to keep on going. You know, that shaped me and how I conduct myself now. You know, it just their encouragement. You work hard and you go and roll up your sleeves, and whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with thy might. They were not necessarily Christian people, but their work ethic helped me out so tremendously. Boss I had in Chicago, get along very well. I never, never expected some of the kindnesses that he gave me, but he encouraged me to always give my best. You know, and this is a high-rise place. He was a big executive, if you will. But every time I saw him, he says, you know, Sean, you keep on giving your best. You keep on doing what you're going to do. And he would often say, you know what, you go, you know, you keep on doing what you're doing. You keep working hard. You be timely. And by the way, this is all stuff we ought to have in our work ethic anyways. Be on time for work. You go ahead and you punch in early, and I always punch in, or I was there right on time. I'd punch in early. I'd be on the job. I'd go ahead and roll up my sleeves. I wasn't ashamed to work. I wasn't scared to work and so forth. And he says, you just keep on doing what you do. I wish others would go ahead and follow, so that you keep doing what you're doing. You go any place you want here at Habitat Company. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to go ahead and keep doing what I'm doing, but I don't look to go ahead and get to the top spot, if you will, of Habitat Company. But there are several people among these that I could mention this morning that have helped shape me, if you will, that I would consider were difference makers in my life. I'm sure if you had the pulpit this morning, every single one of you, you could go ahead and look back to somebody. It doesn't matter how hard a life you had. It doesn't matter how difficult maybe you've had in young years. It doesn't matter where you are right now. But I guarantee you there's somebody, if you had the pulpit this morning, there's somebody that you can say was a difference maker in your life. There's somebody that made a difference to you. And boy, the very fact that somebody cared enough to make a difference for you ought to be the desire of your life to be a difference maker to somebody else. I'm sure that you know of somebody in your life that was a difference maker. The truth of the matter is, the fact that you're here this morning proves that somebody was a difference maker in your life. You know, it might have been a pastor, it might have been a Sunday school teacher, somebody, a mom and daddy who was faithful to taking you to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, you know what? They were shaping you. They were making a difference in your life so that you can go on and be a difference maker. Several biblical examples, and I'm not going to name them all, but to name a few, the Apostle Paul, you pick him up in Acts chapter 9, where he got saved there, and the moment that he got saved, what a big difference he made for all the world and so forth. He got saved on that Damascus road. He got baptized. The Bible says immediately he went out there, and he started preaching the gospel. He planned missionaries' journeys. He'd go all over. He'd be training preachers for the gospel. He'd plant churches. Surely he made a difference. You know, I think of Moses back in Exodus chapter 2, where you pick up on his life, if you will, who was the king there in Egypt. The Egyptian king wanted to go ahead and kill all the baby boys. And of course, the king went in and told the midwives, kill all the baby boys. All the girls could go ahead and live, but kill all the baby boys. And Jochebed, that's Moses' mom, would go ahead and say, I love my boy. And she saw a vision. By the way, she was a difference maker. Had she not had a vision for her little son, she wouldn't have made a little ark of bulrushes. She wouldn't have gone ahead and put that even little baby boy in danger sending him down a river, not sure what was going to happen, but she loved that little baby boy. Certainly, she made a difference for Israel. Certainly, she made a difference in the life of a child who grew up to be a man of God, Moses. Moses, of course, that Hebrew boy was raised in Pharaoh's house. He was not killed because God was preparing him for a greater work. God had something big for him. Moses, he should have been killed. You know, he was a little baby boy. You know, under the law at that time, under the king's law, he should have been killed. But he was a difference maker for the children of Israel. God was honing him to something bigger and better. And of some having compassion, making a difference. I think of Joseph. He left home as a teenager. You go back to Genesis chapter 37. Joseph, he left home as a teenager. He had a close, knit relationship with his father. And his father went ahead. And of course, we know the story. His brothers wanted to leave home. Go watch your father's flock and so forth. And Joseph's dad goes ahead and asks, your father's gone to Shechem to feed the flock? And Joseph says, yes. And he says, here am I. And make a long story short, he goes and he obeys his dad. He goes on down to Shechem to check on his brothers. Of course, he gets to Shechem and doesn't find them there, but he went a little bit further. He went on to Dothan and he checked on his brothers. He never went back to be united with his daddy as a teenage boy. He was a teenager. He shouldn't have had to go through all the things that he went through as a teenager, but God was honing him and preparing him for a bigger work. And had he not gone ahead and left, he wouldn't have made a big difference in Egypt. But God was preparing him for a big work. He never went back home. He was lied about. He was hated. He was put in prison. He was accused of rape. He was forgotten about in prison. And in those years of Egypt, all these terrible things were happening. But at the end of the day, he saved the country because God used him to interpret these dreams of Pharaoh there. And if he had ignored his daddy back as a 17-year-old boy, he wouldn't have made a difference in Egypt, but he certainly was a difference maker. So many more people in the Bible, I think of David, slew a giant, a man after God's own heart. He certainly made a difference for Israel. Peter, he preached at Pentecost. He made a difference for thousands that day. People getting saved and baptized and the early church being planted. And because of that testimony in Acts chapter 2, you know what? That is a difference for all fundamental Bible-believing Baptist churches today. Hey, let's not forget, most importantly, Jesus. Jesus, he left heaven to be born in a cold manger bed. And 33 years later, we know the story, and I'm not going to take a whole lot of time, but we know all that Jesus went through. He was, couldn't even find a place to lay his head. He started earthly ministry. Of course, people would go ahead and laugh at him for his stand. They'd go ahead and deny him, even in his ministry. And, of course, he was accused wrongly. He died on a cruel cross, the most cruel death. He was mocked. He was spat upon. He had a crown of thorns placed on his head. He was cursed at. He had nails and hands in his feet. Why? To be a difference maker for you. Oh, let me tell you something this morning. If you're saved this morning, what a difference Jesus has made, huh? Boy, there's no greater position than to be a Christian this morning. There's no better place to be than be a child of God this morning. There's no better place to be than to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life this morning. Jesus certainly was a difference maker to you. Had he not done this, we'd all be doomed for hell. He was the only one that could pay for our sin debt. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He was a difference maker in my life when I called upon him, and nothing's been the same ever since. I don't have the desire of the world. I don't want to go back to the world. I don't want to go ahead and go back to the crud of the world. I just want to, because Jesus, he made a difference in my life. Oh God, by the grace of God, I want to be a difference maker for you. My life is filled to overflowing because of his salvation and his moving in my life. He can be a difference maker in your life as well. Oh sinner, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I plead with you. You got that emptiness in your heart. I plead with you this morning. Let Jesus be the difference in your life. Stop looking for the world for answers. Stop looking for the drugs and the alcohol for all the answers. Stop looking for the happiness out in the world. Hey, you know what? The ultimate joy, the ultimate happiness will come for Jesus. Hey, let Jesus make a difference in your life today. If you don't know him as Savior this morning, I plead with you before you leave the Faith Baptist Church this morning that you allow him to make a difference in your life. Are you a difference maker this morning? Is your life a positive difference or an influence, a positive influence in the lives under you? Do you have a good testimony that makes a difference for the cause of Christ? Parents, are you making a difference in the lives of your children? Sunday school teachers, are you making a difference in the lives of your students? Boss, are you making a difference in the lives of your workers? Hey, no matter what you do here at the church, your ministry, are you making a difference in the lives of those that are under you? Are you making a difference this morning? Are you making a difference for the cause of Christ? Or is your life making a difference in a negative way for people? It can go both ways. I'm talking about being a difference maker this morning. I know it can be overwhelming. Nearly 7 billion people alive on planet Earth. How in the world can just one person make a difference? There's so many needs. There's so little time with very few resources to meet the needs. And you ask, where do we begin? Where do we start? Let me just say this, it starts with you. You know, I was thinking about revival, and I still believe today America can have revival. I don't think we're so far gone that people still can't get saved, and that the Holy Spirit of God can go ahead and flood through this great nation of ours, and I still believe we can still see a revival, but you know where it starts? It starts with you. You want to go ahead and make a difference on that job, it's going to start with you. You're going to make a difference in that Sunday school class teacher, it's going to start with you. You're going to make a difference on that bus route, bus captain, it's going to start with you, bus worker. If you're going to go ahead and make a difference in your home, in the lives of your children, mama and daddy, it's going to go ahead and start with you. Hey, you know what? If we're going to go ahead and make a difference for the cause of Christ, it's going to start with us. Don't you think for a minute you can't be used? It doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter where you were before you were saved. You know, if it's confessed and you're saved and you've confessed, it's all under the blood this morning. Don't go ahead and sit there and say, well, because of the past, because of what happened in the past, I can't be used. Hey, God can still use you. He can take a murderer and a blasphemer like Paul and use him. He can take a murderer like Moses and use him. He can go ahead and take an adulterer like a David and use him. Hey, don't you think for a minute, and they were used greatly of God, don't you think for a minute that you can't make a difference in the life of somebody this morning? Don't you think that there's just too many people out there? Hey, you know what? It can be done. The work of God can be done. I believe this morning we can find the answer to making a difference in that little verse, Jude chapter 22 and its surrounding verses. I alluded to earlier, I had some spirit-filled people in my life, some spirit-filled Christians in my life that made a difference in me. I mentioned a few moments ago in the Bible who are difference makers, who made a difference to people in the whole world. I love reading about them and how they preserved. I love how they've gone ahead and followed the word of God and the will of God. And I love reading of them about these people in the Bible from the preserved word of God and how they made a difference. You know, let me just say this. You know, it encourages me if God can use an apostle Paul who hated Christians. You know, I think he can use me too. I think he can use me too. You know, I mentioned Jesus especially, who was the ultimate difference maker. Oh, allow him to make a difference in your life. There have been so many who made a difference for the cause of Christ through the centuries. Let me say, we can't afford to miss the opportunity to make a difference this morning. We just can't afford to go ahead and miss the opportunity to be used of God. Many through the centuries, they seized the opportunity to go ahead and be used of God. They personally followed the leading of the Holy Spirit in their life to be used of God. Our church here, Faith Baptist Church, needs to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allow our church to be a difference maker. Hey, I love it when I go out soul winning and I talk to people, and maybe they're not in the doors of this church on a regular basis or whatever the case may be, but they were reached from here. Hey, you know what? Because Faith Baptist Church made a difference. You know, it's amazing some of the people that, oh yeah, I used to ride that bus to church. I say, well, you ought to come on back. We're still having a great time down there at Faith. But you know, I love them business simply because they were reached through the bus ministry, or they were reached by some soul winner of Faith Baptist Church. Hey, well, you know what it is? Faith Baptist Church was a difference maker in the life of somebody. I love all through the ministries that I have been a part in. When I was at Calvary, you'd knock on doors, you know, and that church had been there 30 years or more. And, you know, I love knocking on doors all around the Lewis and Auburn area, knocking on doors on a Saturday morning. Hey, I used to ride that bus. Hey, is so-and-so still there? Yeah, so-and-so still there. They're still driving the bus. Pastor Chris, you're still there. You know, hey, I was reached through your church. Hey, you know what? That church was a difference maker. And by the way, we ought to be a difference maker all around Carver, all around Plymouth. Hey, we ought to be a difference maker this morning. Hey, you know why our church needs to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit and be used to reach people for the cause of Christ, being a difference maker. When you think about it this morning, we're all here because somebody was a difference maker. Some soul winner made a difference in your life, and you're here this morning. Some God-fearing pastor made a difference in your life, and that's maybe why you're here this morning. Some godly mama and daddy made a difference in your life by their faithfulness to taking you to church, and they were a difference maker. Some godly grandparent will go ahead and pray for you, and they were a difference in your life. Maybe some youth leader, they were a difference in your life. Some Sunday school teacher, they were a difference in your life. They are all made a difference in your life. Why not you choose to be a difference maker in somebody's life today? Why not you decide, you know, I'm going to step up to the plate and I'm going to be a difference maker in somebody's life today. I can go ahead and shore up some things in my home as a daddy or as a mama so I can make sure that I'm making a positive difference in the life of my children. Hey, I can be in my place on a Sunday morning in that Sunday school class. I can be on that bus on a Sunday morning. I can be where God wants me to be. I can do what God wants me to do. I can go ahead and have a positive influence in somebody's life today. I'm thinking of a Christian bookstore salesman in Boston, Mr. Kimball, who at a Boston shoe store won a young lad to Christ. He didn't know what this lad was going to grow up to be. That lad, a young boy, a Christian shoe salesman in his shoe store, went ahead and led a Dwight L. Moody to Christ. One of the greatest revivalists of all time, winning thousands to Christ through the preaching in America and abroad. The Great Moody Church in Chicago, though she's not what she used to be, but the Great Moody Church, and I've been there a few different times visiting, and you'd walk in there and the vastness of that auditorium and so forth, it still stands in Chicago, but I love going into that Great Moody Church as a visitor, if you will, and sitting there, and I don't know what it was like. I wasn't alive back then, amen? Probably it's a good thing I'd be not here, amen, but the truth of the matter, I like sitting there and I like picturing in my mind what it must have been like when Moody stepped behind that pulpit and he waxed eloquent the unsearchable riches of Christ. Surely he made a difference. I think of my hero, Dr. Jack Hiles, known to have been built the world's largest Sunday school. He grew up in a broken home. Daddy, an alcoholic, cared nothing for young Jackie Boy Hiles, as Brother Hiles would call himself. Got a godly mama who nurtured him, took him to church Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, taught him the Bible and taught him as a young boy. He would stand up there and say, Jackie boy, I want you to say with me, the Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. He'd be a little boy, the Bible is the word of God. In that 7, 8, 9-year-old voice, the Bible is the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. And he had it instilled in his mind that church is right, that Jesus is right, and the Bible is the word of God. And later in teen years, to many disbelief, because Brother Howes was a very introverted person, he'd talk about that his own shadow would go ahead and scare him. He'd say it often. Later in his teen years, he was called to preach, and he went forward and told the preacher, and I remember him giving this illustration time after time. He shook the Brother Sizemore's hand, Pastor Sizemore, I believe it was, who was his childhood preacher. And he says, as a teenage boy, you know, preacher, God called me to preach. You know what the preacher responded? Jackie boy, are you sure? Are you sure? But the truth is, because he was so introverted, and he went ahead and he stumbled through his testimony that same day to the church people. God's called me to preach, and the people were just in disbelief. Of course, we know the end of the story, but when he was a young adult, he met his drunk daddy outside of a bar one night there in Dallas, Texas. He told his daddy, I want you to know that God called me to be a preacher. His daddy, in a drunken stupor, kicked him, hit him, blood was coming down his face and knocked him down on the ground, and he kept on kicking him. And after leaving young Jack on the ground, he proceeded to walk across the street, and in the middle of the street in his drunken stupor, he says, if you're going to be a preacher, if you're going to be, and he said, blankety blank preacher, then you go and you build the biggest blankety blank blank church in the world. And you know what? Brother Hiles built the largest church in Indiana, the world's largest Sunday school. He certainly made a difference in your life of your preacher and so many others. Think of the business world, of Sam Walton, Bentonville, Arkansas. Younger man, he was a retailer, and he started a 5 and 10 cent store. I don't exactly know what that particular store, I don't know if it was Walmart at that particular time, but it's out of 5- and 10-cent store, and because of his diligence and his hard work, and we know the story of Walmart. All you ladies know the story of Walmart today. You know, go to Plymouth, go anywhere you go. There's the Walmart ministry, amen? And, you know, and I love Walmart. Don't get me wrong, I love Walmart, you know? I tell you what. And I thank God that store is not closing. I hope, anyways, I'd be lost if it was closing. But simply two businessmen all around the world, he's a success story. He made a difference in the business world. These were human beings just like you. And I ask you, why not you do as they did? Why not make the difference in the life of somebody? Some of you will quit. Some will get discouraged. Some will become disenchanted or weary. But I want to charge you as your preacher, you keep on going. Because it's hard to go ahead and make a difference when you quit on God. It's hard for you to go ahead and make a difference when you give up on God. I plead with you this morning, you be a difference maker in some bus kid. You be a difference maker in some Sunday school child or adult or teenager. You make a difference maker. You be a difference maker in some family member or some family. You be a difference maker, dad, mom. You be a difference maker, pastor. You be a difference maker. Youth leader, you be a difference maker. Bus captain, you be a difference maker. Sunday school teacher, you be a difference maker. Decide today, I want to be a difference maker. Hey, if a brother Howes can be used of God, I can be used of God. I'm not exempt from being used. If a Sam Walton can go on and build a great big empire of Walmart, you know, if he can be used, if you will, in that capacity, then you can be used. If a D.L. Moody can be used, you can be used. Hey, you know, you think of it this way. You don't know, Sunday school teacher, that child, that teenager, that adult that you're teaching, you don't know where they will be down the road. You know, what if it is the next D.L. Moody? You know what? You had a part in that. You know, Mr. Kimball, who led D.L. Moody to Christ, he had a part in the success that God gave D.L. Moody. What if Mr. Kimball decided to have no character and call off from work that day? I wonder if the thousands of people that D.L. Moody won to Christ through his preaching, I wonder if they'd have been won to Christ. Hey, I wonder if you could be that difference maker today. You go ahead, if we would just learn, you know what? Our ministry would be so exciting. Your ministry, whether it be your children, whether it be your family or whatever, it'd be so exciting if you'd go ahead and not look at the now, but you look down the road where your child might become because of your faithful testimony. Because you're in your place. You know what? You're being a difference maker. These are just human beings just like you, yet they made a difference for the cause of Christ. Don't you quit on God. I plead you to make a difference. Are you passionate this morning about making a difference? Do you believe that God could use you in some way as these great men I mentioned earlier to make a difference? You know, this morning I'm going to give you three factors, three characteristics that will define you as a difference maker. Number one, real quickly, number one, a biblical position makes a difference. You know, to be a difference maker, you need to be different. If you're going to be a difference maker, you've got to be different. You've got to look different. You've got to act different. You know what? You're a child of God. You know what? You are born into royalty. You know, you're a child of the King. You know, if you're going to be a difference maker this morning, you need to be different. You know, if our church is going to be a difference maker this morning, we need to be different. We don't need to go ahead and just have any old rock band in here and la 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 and all this other stuff. You know, we need to be different if we're going to be a true difference maker for the cause of Christ. God called himself a people who should be set apart, holy and peculiar unto him. You know, the Bible says, you can turn to it if you'd like, but I'm going to go ahead and read. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Boy, isn't that redemption? The very fact that Jesus, he called you out of that darkness of where you could go if you died without Christ, you know, that darkness of hell, that darkness of the world, but he called you into his marvelous light. He says, you are a chosen generation. You are handpicked. You are a favorite, in other words. That means in the Greek, that word chosen means favorite or handpicked, if you will. You're a royal priesthood. You're royalty. You're kingly. I was born again. I was born into royalty. Why? Because Jesus is king. He was king, and I'm his child, and that makes me a prince. Amen? It makes me a prince. A holy nation, set apart. That means physically pure, morally blameless, and consecrated to God. If you want to be a difference and be a difference maker and make a difference in somebody, you got to understand that God, He picked you. He are a favorite of His. He saved you out of all the darkness of hell. He saved you this morning. He set your feet upon a rock. Psalm chapter 40 says, He established your goings. Hey, why don't you go forward and be a difference maker? Hey, take that salvation. You know what? Like I said, there are some. John chapter 15 talks about the stages of growth, and I'm not going to go there this morning, but John chapter 15 talks about the levels of growth. There's four. You know, there's some that are just bear no fruit. They're saved so as by fire, the Bible says, but they don't grow, they don't grow, they don't nurture themselves in the Word of God. They don't pay attention to the Word of God. They don't, whatever the case may be, they fail to grow. So the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 3:15, they'll be saved so as by fire. They'll have nothing to go ahead and give back to God, and they never had a chance, if you will, to go ahead and make a positive difference maybe in their family or in some Sunday school class simply because they didn't want to show up. They didn't choose to grow. They didn't want to go ahead and become stronger in the Word of God. But then you got those that'll bear fruit and then bear more fruit and much fruit. That's the direction God wants us to go. Hey, you know what? Those that are bearing more fruit and those that are bearing much fruit, I just happen to think that they got it in their mind, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference to somebody. I want to grow, and I want my life to be a testimony. I want my light, the Bible says, my light to shine, so shine before men. I want people to know that there's a difference about me. You know, your testimony ought to speak volumes of who you are this morning. You know, your testimony can make a difference to somebody this morning. Hey, you know, your body, I'm not supposed to, you know, I'm getting ahead of myself here. You know, the Bible says we're a peculiar people. We're odd. That's what it means. We're different. We're supposed to be different. I've been called a lot of times. I've been called worse things than this. But, you know, I've been called, you know, you're different. Well, thank you. You know, but I've had people, you know, in a mocking way, but you're really odd. Well, thank you very much. You know, but the Bible says I'm supposed to be. The Bible says that I shouldn't be linked up arm in arm with the world. I'm a child of the King, the King of Kings. I'm supposed to be living and acting the way God wants me to be. I'm not supposed to be living and acting like the world, involved in the world's music and drugs and alcohol. My body, the Bible says, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read the very familiar verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. The Bible says in verse 19 and 20, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own." You know what? When I got saved, I came to the acknowledgement that, you know, I don't belong to me. It's not all about me. The Bible says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." It's not for me to go ahead and live how I want to live anymore. You know, them verses to me tell me, hey, you need to go glorify God. You know, the purpose of why we were created, the purpose we've been saved is to glorify God. And you know what? And I just happen to think if I just decide at an altar somewhere, decide that I'm going to grow, and I've given God all the glory in my life, you know what? That's going to make a difference to somebody. That'll make a difference to somebody. Well, we're supposed to be a peculiar people. I am not my own. I am God's. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He established my going. He set my feet upon a rock. You can turn to Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. I love this. And I love turning to it. Psalm chapter 40. You know, David's writing here. Get to it here. I didn't mark it, but right here it is. The Bible says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry." Boy, thank God he heard your cry, huh? Thank God that he heard your cry when you were doomed for hell, but you realized you're a sinner, and you realized the price on sin, and Jesus, through his wonderful grace and love and mercy, he died on that cross so you could have eternal life, and you called upon him. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it. That tells me that my testimony ought to speak volumes for the cause of Christ. I'm saved. I'm a child of the King. I'm a prince. I've been born again into royalty, and my testimony ought to say something about Jesus. My testimony ought to be a difference for somebody. Hey, our desires ought to be his desires. Our ways ought to be his ways. The same passage where we read making a difference, verse number 20 and 21, the Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." You know, that's building up your faith. Known sin will go ahead and tear it down. If you don't go ahead and deal with that sin in your life, you know, it's going to go ahead and tear it down. No, you don't lose your salvation. You're under the grace of God once you get saved. You're written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you live in known sin and you desire to run back to the world, you're not going to build that faith that God gave you. Building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Your faith ought to be growing. That is faith in action. It should not be stagnant. It should not be dead. Building is presently doing, constantly nurturing your faith. Hey, you know, I know there's so many things out in the world. The devil just seems to offer so many different devices out there that he'll try to zap your faith. He'll even try to cause you to doubt your salvation. You know, but he'll go ahead and try to zap your faith. You know what? He knows if you're a child of God, he can't take you to hell with him one day, but he wants to do everything he can to cause your life to be displeasing to God. Hey, you need to be building your faith. You need to be in the Word of God and building your faith. You need to not just be stagnant. Don't let sin stunt your growth. Pray in the Holy Ghost, allowing him to move in you. Keep or guard your life, so to speak, keeping yourselves in the love of God, in the love of Christ, staying in the love of Christ. The Holy Spirit, allow him to commune with you and place you to where God wants you to be. These scriptures challenge us to stand strong in our biblical position. You're going to make a difference to somebody. You gotta have a strong biblical position. Therefore, you building up, therefore you praying and keeping and watching and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in you, you can make a positive difference to somebody. You can be a difference maker. Don't let anyone pull you away from the cause of Christ, from your position that you have in Christ. No, nobody can. If you're saved again this morning, you are saved forever. Nobody can ever take that away. You're placed in the palm of Jesus' hand. But let me tell you something. The devil will do anything he can to try to pull you away from being what God wants you to be. You stand true to the Bible. Don't let anybody steer you wrong, steer you away from it. You stand strong in the faith. Don't let anybody weaken your faith. The devil would like nothing more for you to go ahead and start changing your ways of living for God and to go a different direction. You know, it seems like everywhere we look today, change. You know, today our culture wants change. It's crying out for change. You know, the devil wants us to try to even change, if you will, and change our direction. He'll do anything he can to try to cause us to change our direction. But you're hearing change of political change, religious change, social change, technological change. That's scary there. It seems like just when you get used to a computer, something more. You know, come on. You know, some new little gadget or something. You know, but change. Technological change. We live in a world thirsty for change. It's happening all around us. But let me just say this. Even though you may think our world is changing, and it is, even though you may be a little uneasy with things that are going on in the world, and rightly so, but I'm just going to encourage you once again, Jesus is still on the throne, and you know what? Never changes. The truth never changes. The truth of God's word never changes. The truth does not change. John 8:32, the truth will set you free. You know, maybe you're here this morning again, and I plead with you, if you're unsaved, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I ask you to get to know the truth. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth." Boy, absorb yourself in the truth of God and get saved this morning if you don't know Jesus as your Savior. God's chosen people, we will never make a difference by changing or by innovation, by changing the way that we ought to do God's business. We'll only make a difference. You know, our church will only make a difference by duplicating what is found in the book of Acts. You know, taking the word of God and doing what it says and duplicating what is found in the book of Acts. Not changing our methods for soul winning, not changing our Bibles, not changing our music or our standards. We need to duplicate exactly, because God's word never changes. We need to duplicate what never changes right here, the truth. You know, the book of Acts, and these preachers and all through the Bible, they preach from the book, not a book. They preach from about the king and not a king. They preached about the Savior, not a Savior. Boy, salvation that is, they preached about a salvation that is sure, not one that is unsure. You know, this morning I say this, you know, I know and I know and I know and I know and I know based on 1 John 5:13 that I'm on my way to heaven. Boy, you can know it too. You don't have to sit there, I think I'm going. No, you can know it too. Allow Jesus to be a difference maker in your life this morning. We will make a difference when we stand strong in the faith and have a fixed biblical position, which is the truth of the Word of God. Jesus is truth. Jesus is a difference maker that the world needs. Our world today needs more than ever Christians who stand secure and undaunted and not unwavering, and steadfast in the faith of Christ. You know what? We need to just stand strong today. When the old devil blows his winds, you just stand strong. Don't you go ahead and change, and don't you go ahead and become undaunted. You go ahead and you stand strong for the cause of Christ this morning. You can only make a difference only if you're different. Only if you're different. In a culture of today, a fixed position of the truth is a difference that people need. If our doctrine is shaped by a popular consensus, we'll have no message to make a difference. You know, Jude chapter 20, but ye beloved, building up your faith on yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, that word faith is the objective body of biblical truth. It describes and it defines our position as believers. You know, you want to contrast that with 2 Timothy 4:3. The Bible says, and it warns us what will happen in the last days, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, the last days, people will become self-obsessed with their music and with their life and their pleasures and their comforts and luxuries and pride, and standing for Christ will be the last thing they think about. Boy, it seems like it's evident today. It just seems it's so evident today. But our biblical position defines who we are and defines our lifestyle. We Baptists have been defined, long been defined, if you will, for standing strong in our beliefs and practice. You know, you could never question where Paul stood once he got saved. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You know what? You couldn't question his position. You know, he says, thou hast fully known. You know who I am. You know where I stand. He lived outwardly what God did on the inside. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of God unto salvation to every soul that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul was not afraid to make a difference. Are you? Are you shaping your life on popular opinion? Are you kind of just, well, you know, just shaping your life by not going against the wind, so to speak? Are you afraid to take a stand? Paul's lifestyle was fully known, and our love for God and lifestyle ought to be different from the world. Has the difference Christ made in your life at salvation, has it made a difference to others this morning? Is your position with the world different than it was before you got saved? Or is it the same? For our life ought to be such that it reflects Jesus Christ. Our life ought to be different. Our church ought to be different. Seems like our culture is more drawing away from Christ than going to him. It seems the attitude of anything goes is so prevalent today. And the lifestyle of Christians seems to look like the world. The Bible says we ought to come out from among them and be separate. We've adopted the world's music and dress, and so doing, we look like the world. Making a difference truly starts by you being different. A biblical position makes a difference. A pure and personal walk with God makes a difference. Jude 21, guarding yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You know, very few Christians experience that intimate walk in relationship with God. Therefore, disallowing ourselves to lead others into this kind of relationship. I've said it all through this morning. You know what? Your testimony ought to speak volumes for Christ. People ought to say, you know, there's a difference in you. People ought to see a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory because of the cause of Christ and what Jesus has done in you. You know, I've taught on Wednesday evening, that Christianity, if we're going to survive, we need to, if we're going to survive as we know it as Christians, we need to be reproducing ourselves. That means we need to make a difference. we need to make a difference. Personal walk will make a difference to others. I got to keep moving. Your testimony ought to make a difference, speak volumes for Christ. A personal walk, if your personal walk is not what it should be, it will not make a difference. So maybe, let me ask you a question. Are you walking with God this morning? Do you have a time where it's just you and God? You shut off the phone and you shut out the TV and shut off everything and it's just you and God. Maybe if you don't, you ought to renew that walk today. You ought to renew that walk with Christ today and decide, you know what? I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in my Sunday school class. I want to make a difference in my church. I want to make a difference in my family. But maybe you're having a hard time making a difference simply because you're not keeping yourself, if you will, or you don't have that intimate walk with Christ as you should. Find him in all your heart's desires. Number one, make a biblical position. A biblical position will make a difference. Number two, a pure and personal walk will make a difference. And then number three, not last, right priorities will make a difference. You know, it seems like people today, we watch out for number one. You know, isn't that what Lucifer did in heaven? Pride. I will be like the Most High. That's what he did. You know, we kind of watch out for me. What can I get out of life? What is in it for me? Me, 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 me. What about him, 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 him? When a Christian lives for self, they step into the world and the world system. And we lose our ability to influence and make a difference to other people. All because we want to make a difference in me and not others. And all while we live in our prideful state, and all while we are there, there's a dying world that's going to a crisis hell because we want to live for self. Boy, let me say this. It's not time to be complacent in our Christian walk. Boy, it's time to rise up Christian this morning and just decide, I want to be a difference maker. I want to be a daddy that makes a difference. I want to be a mama that makes a difference. I want to be a preacher that makes a difference. I want to be part of a church that makes a difference. I want to be a difference maker on the job. I want to be a difference maker. Our priorities ought to be Christ's priorities. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he gave us the same thing. He left us the same thing, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:19-20, Matthew 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, the Great Commission is not about self, it's about others. You know, Jesus, he wants us, you know, I'm going to preach a little bit on this tonight, but you know, he saw the harvest was plenteous. You know what, he saw the sinner right where they were. You know what, Jesus, you'll never see Jesus anywhere in the Bible. He never lived for himself. He lived for you. He lived for others. He was truly a difference maker. Our priorities ought to be Christ's priorities. It's not about me, it's what does he want to accomplish, what does God want to accomplish through me? Verse 23 shows clearly that our priorities should revolve around eternity and reaching the lost. You know, you can't take your house, can't take your boat, you can't take your wallet, can't take that fancy new car, Ford Mustang, anyways. You can't take all these things with you. And by the way, I'm not against that. If God goes ahead and blesses you with these things, man, have fun and use them for his glory. Don't get so, you know, use them for his glory. Thank God for it. But you know what? You can't take them with you. But you know the precious people that he's allowed you to influence? The precious people that he's allowed you to knock on their door and you've been able to win them to Christ? You know what? You're going to be able to take them with you. You're going to be able to see them in heaven one day. Therefore, them coming up to you in heaven saying, thank you for making a difference in my life. You know, flip that coin over. We knowing the word of God, we being saved, and we know that our priority ought to be Jesus' priority, and that's to reach the lost. But I think it's going to be very sobering at the judgment seat. We face Jesus and those whom we could have, when the Holy Spirit prompted us to talk to somebody about Christ, but our pride, whatever got in the way, We're going to face Jesus and those whom we could have made a difference. We'll turn around when they're ready to be cast into hell. Say, you knew, but you never told me. You knew you're going to have all the splendor of heaven, but you never told me. Hey, my friend, this morning, let's make a difference. Instead of having compassion, making a difference. To truly make a difference, we must align ourselves with the priorities Jesus established and not our priorities. You know, let me say this. If you decide this morning, I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference in my family. I want to make a difference in my ministry or on my job or wherever. I want to get my priorities right. I want to take a stand and make a difference. Let me just warn you, if you choose that this morning, you're going to face some opposition. You will face opposition. Making a difference will cause people to attack you, criticize you, make fun of you. And to avoid these attacks and criticism, that's the easy way out. But if you want to avoid it, it is to do nothing, be nothing, or say nothing. But today, I plead with you. The attacks will come if you choose to make a difference. I plead with you, decide. I'm going to be a difference maker. I'm going to be a difference maker. I think heaven's going to be a lot of fun. People that maybe you went along the way that you never saw before, you may see up there, I think. I think it's going to be that they're going to come by and say thank you for that track that you left in the restroom in Ohio somewhere because you left that track or whatever the case may be. You'd be surprised. A track will make a difference because you laying it somewhere, you passing it out, you telling somebody about Jesus, your testimony making a difference. And so I think it's going to be fun to see some of these people who you made a difference in their life. You'll be in good company. You'll be in good company with Jesus, who ultimately made a difference. Amen. Look forward to that day. Amen. Look forward to the day seeing Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? Amen, church. You're going to be in good company with Moses, with Paul, with Peter, with Joseph, with David, with the D.L. Moody, with the Charles Finney, with the brother Jack Hiles, that faithful Sunday school teacher, that faithful preacher. You know, my desire as pastor is I want to be a difference maker. I want our church to be a difference maker. But if we're going to make a difference, we need to be conscious for the loss that's all around us. Seeking God's ways, we ought to be seeking God's way to grow his kingdom. All because we ought to desire to be a difference maker. Difference, you want to make a difference, it's going to start with the right biblical position, a personal walk with God, and having the right priorities. While walking along a beach, an elderly gentleman saw someone in the distance. The person was repeatedly leaning down, picking up objects and throwing them into the ocean. As the man came closer, he realized it was a young man picking up starfish one by one and tossing each one gently back into the water. As he came closer still, he called out, "Good morning! May I ask you what you are doing?" The young man paused, looked up, and replied, "I'm throwing starfish into the ocean." The old man smiled and said, "I must ask then, why are you throwing starfish into the ocean?" To this, the young man replied, "The sun is up, the tide is going out. If I don't, they'll die." Upon hearing this, the elderly gentleman rubbed his chin. He commented, "But young man, don't you realize that there are miles of beach along here and thousands of starfish all along every mile? You can't possibly make a difference to them all." The young man listened politely without saying a word, leaned down, picked up a starfish, and threw it into the ocean. And he kindly replied, "But I made a difference to that one. I made a difference to that one." I want to challenge you this morning, church. Make a difference. Do you want to make a difference? Are you willing to go ahead and maybe go through the opposition of being a difference maker? Are you willing to go ahead and stand above for the cause of Christ and make a difference? put on that armor good and strong, and so that when the devil goes ahead and attacks, you still stand strong and stand firm, therefore making a difference for the cause of Christ? Are you willing to make a difference this morning? Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Savior. You don't know if you were to die today that you'd go to heaven. Boy, I plead with you, allow Jesus to be that ultimate difference maker. Boy, you know, all of us who are saved this morning can testify of the day that Jesus made a difference, amen, if they're saved. But if you've got that emptiness in your heart this morning, you don't know Christ as Savior, I plead with you, won't you decide, Jesus, I want you to be the ultimate difference maker in my life by coming into my heart and save me. But maybe you're here today, Christian, you're not maybe in line with God's priorities. Maybe you're not in line with walking with God and being what God wants you to be. Maybe you need to renew that relationship with God today. I'm saying, coming forward, saying, Lord, I know I've got some things in my life that really aren't making a positive influence in the lives of others, but today I want to change some things. I want to be a difference maker. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Our Heavenly Father, we sure do love you, and we thank you for today, God. We thank you for your love. Thank you for the simple verse, making a difference.